What's up, everybody? DJ and Bucky here from Move the Sticks. Before you get to your episode, here's what we've got coming up this week.
We're going to borrow a game from Dave Damashek. We're going to play Jenga. Who is the most indispensable player on every team outside of the quarterback position?
Yeah, we're not borrowing the beard, just the game. You can check us out, NFL.com/podcast. You can find our videos on YouTube.com, and you can subscribe on iTunes.
Going to the hurry-up offense.
Yes, hi and hello, football fans, and welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. Go get some of that all-day breakfast any time of the day. It's a good choice. Oh, Studio 66 is full of excitement right now. Training camp is underway. We have much to get to. Let's go around and tell everybody who's here. First of all, joining us, he wore a couple other uniforms. At least for me, I consider him a Packers. One of the first team I associate with this guy is the Green Bay Packers. We're going to go Packers-themed a fair amount here today. It's Greg Jennings. We have Patrick Claibon. You see him on NFL Network updating you on this, that, and the other. And then from Cheesehead TV, one of the great Packers fans, and my adversary on the NFL Films top 10 list when he tries to make a case for the 60s Packers over the 70s Steelers. Fat and double fat, as the late, great Myron Cope would say. It's Aaron Nagler. What's the poop with you, fella?
How you doing, Damashek? Thanks for having me on, buddy.
It's a pleasure to see you. If you are listening to us, you cannot see what we see here. He is on Skype with us, and he is seated at the end of his bed looking good.
That's right.
Yes.
Hey, man, when you got three girls running around, you know, it's summer, they're all home. You know, I live in a small apartment in Astoria, New York, man. I don't got room like you people out there in L.A.
All right, let's jump into it. And, of course, it's the Andy Reid Hurry Up. We are off to a not-so-flying start here on the Hurry Up, hence the name, the Andy Reid-style Hurry Up.
Delay a game.
All right, I don't need to be hassled already. Greg Jennings, how are you, man? And congratulations on a great NFL career.
I appreciate it. Is this enthusiasm much better received right
much
now?
Better.
Okay.
I feel the energy.
There we go. No, I'm doing great, man, especially when you wake up and you turn on the TV and you're watching training camp from your bed. that is a good feeling.
All right, that's easy to say, but no jive. Is there any party of 5% of you that thinks like, huh, I kind of wish I were off in camp somewhere?
Right now, no. I'm just being honest. Right now, absolutely not.
Why doesn't everybody do, whether it's hold out like Ryan Fitzpatrick or, oh, yeah, I have a weird thing in my leg that's not allowing me to, why doesn't every veteran pull that move until it's like August 29th or so?
Because it's frowned upon. Everyone looks at you from not only your teammates, but the organization, fans, media, everyone looks at it as, oh, this guy, especially a veteran. Oh, he doesn't want to be a part of practices. He's taking time off. And they don't look at it as a positive, as he's done this for umpteen years. He's tired of doing it. He just wants to play ball. They don't look at it like that.
They'll forget about it after you make a touchdown.
Absolutely.
In the first half of
Absolutely.
The first game.
It's a guilt camp.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It is guilt camp. It's not even training camp.
All right, let's jump into it. And Claibon, how are you, sir?
Dave, I'm living the dream every single day.
I know. Football is nigh. It's exciting for all of us. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I just mentioned him there, $12 million now to presumably take over for the Jets. Although, I got to tell you, as a man of justice, I'm rooting for Geno. I hope Geno somehow beats God. There's no way it's going to happen,
it.
But I wouldn't mind seeing him somehow win that gig.
Did you see the tweet? Did you see the tweet the Jets put out today? The welcome back music, and Geno is in the video.
I missed that. Oh,
it's going to work out for Geno, man.
He's going to old.
He's going to get something. He's light years ahead, of course.
So let's go there, Claibon. I'll start with you, and let's just yap about this. Are we – I just, before making my way up to Studio 66, I ran into the Around the NFL fellas, and Dan Hanzus is raw with me, legitimately. He's upset with me because I made jokes on Twitter as soon as Fitzpatrick signed. I'm just pointing out the reality. We all know who Ryan Fitzpatrick is, right? He's not. What do you think? You just got back into camp. He is maybe a tick better than Geno Smith.
I think at some point during the holdout, it got a little bit lost in who we were talking about.
Yes,
and we talked about this on the show. This is the same. It's the same Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? But it's he had the best season at quarterback that they've had in some time, and I think that took residence in people's minds. And we got a different vision of Ryan Fitzpatrick than the one that's been playing for a while now.
Well, Geno Smith, he tweeted, "Horses don't stop, they keep going." I don't know how that's relevant to the Jets training camp there. But, Nagler, here's what jumps out at me. Sorry to play cynic to Dan Hansus and Jets fans. But
I know, you're real sorry, I can tell.
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to beat myself up in the car by myself. Like, Dave, come on, man.
You won't beat the horse. You won't beat the horse, though.
Hansus called me a bully, as a matter of fact. Oh, you feel big? You feel like a big man putting down the weak sister? Like, listen.
Man.
I don't know. The weird self-esteem issue you have, I don't know. But, you know, I'll play cynic here, Nagler.
Uh-huh.
Play.
Fitzpatrick, the Jets played a very, very easy schedule last year. They played they played four games against playoff teams, two against the Patriots.
Yep.
Look at their first six games this year. I mean, what do you expect for Fitzpatrick this year?
Well, I don't expect much different. You just talked about he's the quarterback we all have known and loved for how many years. Last year, he just happened to be getting to an offense with a really good offensive coordinator and a bunch of wide receivers that, you know, he's not afraid to throw it downfield and let them go get it. Some guys are risk averse, some guys aren't, and he definitely isn't. I know you've seen the stats about all the interceptable throws that he threw, especially early on in the year, that just, you know, defenses just didn't come down with them. I tend to think some defenses are probably going to start coming down with a few more. I mean, just law of averages. And maybe, just maybe, you might hear some tremors in the force there in New York for, you know, maybe 4 or 5 weeks in, maybe people will want to see what they have in Geno.
And maybe, I mean, literally in these.
He was the starter before, you know, getting cold cocked back there in training camp last year. So
that is correct. Everybody seems to forget about that. Greg Jennings, you've been around, obviously, a major situation when one quarterback gives way to another. What do you suppose?
I don't know if that was a gift.
maybe I didn't choose my words carefully enough.
Those guys were good.
It seems awfully weird to me, especially when, I mean, I guess, you know, reading the tea leaves, Brandon Marshall probably had a pretty good sense that this is going to work out, I guess, because otherwise, I mean, is there any chance that this fractures the locker room? Are there any Geno supporters, do you suppose? Or are they like most Jets fans who say, we're done with Geno, it's got to be Fitz or shame the devil?
I don't believe that there are no Geno supporters, because in a locker room, you hope everyone does well. But when you look at the picture that was tweeted by Brandon Marshall and you see the guy's expression, he's won the locker room. Like, no, seriously.
Right.
He's not an elite quarterback, but he played well enough to put them in position to where they feel like they're on the cusp of doing something special this year. That's all you need him to do. That's all you. They play good defense. He has everything around him to be successful. All we need you to do is just do what you did last year. Maybe be a little bit better if that, but if not, just be who you were last year, and we're good. I don't think, but it's New York.
Yes,
it's the drama capital. Like, they love him right now.
Yeah, uh-huh. A lot of ball game left there.
They love him right now. Nothing has happened. He hasn't thrown an interception in training camp. At least I don't know yet. Today was the first day. It may have already happened, but give it time. If he starts to spin the wrong way, you're going to hear Gene. I mean, it's just.
I often have a glass half that is half empty. But in the cases of Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg, I kind of am a little bit optimistic. But one of those four guys has to go. I don't know that any Bryce Petty, let's say, why he's not going to accept being a practice squad guy. No. And somebody else will grab him if they put him out on the waiver wire. Doesn't it kind of make sense to either ditch Geno sooner rather than later? Or the larger question is, if you really believe in Hackenberg or Petty or Geno, and I guess the answer is no to those things, then because if you did, then you wouldn't bring in a 34-year-old guy whose ceiling we understand. Because otherwise, you've hurt your long-term future of your football team.
Well,
no?
You don't ditch Geno. Number one, I don't think they really believe in Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, if they did, it would be more than 1 year.
If they did, this would have never even taken place. But I think one of the things, number one, Fitzpatrick, I love him as a person. He's a great guy, unbelievable guy.
He went to Harvard. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That comes up. See, now that you're on this side, when you tune into a game, you're going to hear that. I bet it comes up.
You're going to know.
I didn't know that, but he's a great guy. So he gets those guys in the locker room to rally behind him, and that's what he's done, and he's been able to feed off of that. It's been kind of a confidence booster, if you will. Thanks for the phone call. That was
me. I'm sorry. I turned it off, Jennings. Okay. I didn't take it.
It's okay.
It would have been rude if I took the call.
I mean, it's like, oh, Greg's talking. Let me take this.
It was a smooth one motion.
That's just Greg Jennings talking. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Classic. Yeah, Greg.
Exactly. But no, I think you can't ditch Geno right now at this point, because you don't really believe, from an organizational standpoint, you don't really believe in Fitzpatrick. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. Their first six games are brutal. I mean, that any enthusiasm you have as a Jets fan probably is going to get shut down when you look at that schedule. Bartlett behind the glass, real quick. What is it? They go like they host Cincy.
Yeah, they host Cincy. They're at Buffalo, at Kansas City, and then they host Seattle, at Pittsburgh. At Arizona.
Yeesh! That's the first six games. I mean, so what are they, 2-4, 1-5, maybe?
Possibly. I mean, think about that Buffalo game. Both of those Buffalo losses last year, Fitzpatrick played horribly in.
Yes,
and
he
did. If they win both those games, they're hosting a playoff game last year. That's, you know, that's the difference in their season. That game, that week two game, I mean, it's week two, but it's huge because they were so bad on offense against that team.
And I like that, Rex. I, for one, am all for. Listen, all this, players, I understand the NFLPA, and I like the family of the NFL, but fans don't want to hear that you guys like each other on other teams. And I, for one, support Rex Ryan saying, I want to beat the Jets more than I want to beat other teams. Good for you, Rexy.
Absolutely.
That's fun.
You get your guys to rally behind that. Rex is genius when it comes to that. Look at what he was able to do when he was with the Jets to the Patriots. Every single year, it was like you knew the Patriots were – well, I can't say you knew they were a better team, but he took them to the brink every single time they played. Why? Because he expressed how much he hated those guys. And his team, it literally – there was a domino effect. He got those guys to feel the same way he felt about Belichick.
All right, let's move on. And by the way, we're still in the Andy Reid hurry up.
Yeah.
We haven't actually started the show yet. But anyway, while we're here, let's do this one. Nagler, I start with you. You are
In the Andy Reid hurry up, we've gotten like two first downs, an illegal procedure penalty, and we're about 15 yards down the field.
Yeah, we're moving the ball, though. That's the big news. I don't need the penalty flags. We're trying to go. All right, here we go. Nagler, I start with you. Rank them. The Olympics are around the corner as well.
Oh, God.
Gold, right. Silver, bronze. You know the question. The three QBs of the Packers in the Super Bowl era.
I hate
the
you.
The three that count. Sorry, Lynn Dickey and Magic Man. No, the three who would be in the running. Obviously, you're not going to give it to Lynn Dickey. Although he did throw for 4,000 yards.
I would. Hey, man, Lynn Dickey is one of the most underrated.
I liked him.
The game, but Super Bowl era, I got to go Bart Starr, number one. And then, man, for me personally, I got to go Brett Favre, and then Aaron Rodgers.
Wow, Aaron Rodgers, who in my book is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. The bronze medal from Nagler. Jennings, how say you?
I'm going to say Bart Starr. And then I'm going to actually put Aaron over Brett because he performed better. Even though Brett got there twice, he performed better in the Super Bowl win.
That's true.
And then
that's
Brett. True.
So, I mean, by the way, so let's play this real quick while you're still hitting here. We only have a couple more minutes with Jennings. Play this sound from Total Access on NFL Network the other day.
I haven't spoken with Aaron since we met on the field when I was in the Vikings uniform, but there is no ill feeling from my seat towards him, projected towards him. I mean this wholeheartedly. I love him like a brother. I love everything that he's able to do as a player, not only as a player, but as a human being. The time that I spent And I think that was, at that moment, it was all set out of frustration. And I'm being as honest. That's not an excuse. It's not a reason. I'm just being honest. So there's no animosity there that I know of.
I love it. No jive, Greg Jennings, and that's the cardinal rule here in Studio 66. We don't jive each other.
Absolutely. I hate to be stereotypical, but my wife knows how I feel about holding grudges. I don't do it. We're going to make up in a second anyway. We're going to lay in the same bed, and it just makes no sense. So, I mean, when it comes to me and Aaron and I, man, seriously, I have no ill feelings. No ill feelings. I mean, what happened. I still will take the times that we were able to make magic happen on the football field over anything that has happened from a negative spotlight.
Indulge me, Nagler and Claybon, for just a second here before Jennings takes off here. A couple quick ones. Who'd be more fun to drive across the country with, Favre or Rodgers?
Brett
would be more fun to do that.
Are you serious right now?
I don't know. It seems like Rodgers has a wry sort of subtle sense of humor.
So you?
No, I'm not. Well, I'm taking Favre.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Is it unanimous or? I mean,
yeah, it's unanimous. It's a clown question, bro.
Who goes? Who goes for their wallet first? If it's you, Rodgers, and Favre at dinner, who goes for their wallet to pick up the tab?
I'm going first.
No, okay, take yourself out. You 4 or 12.
If they're both there,
yeah, they're both there.
If they're both there, I would wait to see that. I don't know. I would have to. I would wait to watch.
Come on, Brett. You got those Clippers commercials.
Whole restaurant's empty.
You got that Wrangler.
They're on their eighth dessert.
I think this is the safe way out. But I don't think we would have to pull out a wallet if those two were at the table at the restaurant together.
Did you? I've talked to several of the Steelers DBs who went up against you guys in 45, and they all say the same thing that my eyes told me watching that game. Rodgers' arm, if you have not seen it in person, it surprises even professional defensive backs. I mean, you can look at replays where you can see Ryan Clark or Ike Taylor or anybody else closing on a pass that you ultimately catch, where they clearly think, oh, I'm picking this ball off, or I got a beat on this one, I'm going to knock it down. And it's like, well, it got by me more quickly than I thought. Is that true? Even coming from Favre, is Rodgers' ball more live?
I think they both have a live ball. I just think that Aaron just with the precision that he's able to throw with, because I think Brett was more of an anticipator, where he threw off of anticipation and he literally, it's like he knew where you were going to be. But Aaron, he has no regard for the defender. I mean, he knows they're there, but he trusts his ability so much. It's like an arrogance. I call it that Cali swag.
You know what? I hear you, because you listen to him talk, and if you put those words on a piece of paper, you'd be like, who is this arrogant creep? And
yes.
Like, when he says it, when you hear him say it, you say like, well, yeah, he's right. He knows what we all know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's the best one out there.
Absolutely.
Hey, Greg Jennings, you're a great one to kibitz with. I hope we get a chance to do it some more here. You're a delightful fella, and legitimately, in the few times I got to talk to you during your career, consistently funny and insightful and not jiving us, and so I appreciate it.
You guys.
And congratulations on a great career.
I get a standing ovation.
Man. And look at that. Greg Jennings is exiting before we've even started the show proper. Start the show!
David, football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hello once again there. My microphone's not on. There we go, Bartlett. Thank goodness. Look at that. Nagler's on the Skype. He's intimidating me because he's got his hand on his chin like yawn already. That's it. Now Jennings is gone. What am I hanging around here for?
That's what I'm saying.
You're saying what? Impress you. Okay, fair enough. I thought maybe you're like, oh, this party suddenly got real square without Greg Jennings here.
say goodbye, man. You know, that's how he rolls. I understand.
We are presented, as I mentioned already, by McDonald's, and we are joined by Aaron Nagler. What? Claybon, you're ditching? Oh, you're moving over. Okay, good.
To fill the seat.
I thought you were ditching out on us here. Like, man, I was really, I'm that bad a company that you guys, one guy's got his hand on his chin,
it's,
the other.
It's the guest. It's the guest. It's all right.
What about that, Nagler? That was a nice gift I gave you, right?
That was great. That was great. I've interviewed Greg a couple times, met him a couple times. He's a true Packer. I don't care about all the stuff afterwards. I mean, he helped us win a Super Bowl.
What do you great make guy. Of that? What do you make of that? And, you know, Claybon, you don't really – aren't a diehard for an NFL team. But what do you think about what Jennings said there? Or as a fan, Brett Favre, for all his great deeds, one of the, I don't know, I've made my rankings and now I can't think of where Favre landed there. I think five maybe in the Super Bowl era. But wherever you rank him, the fact of the matter is he did have a nasty habit of throwing big games away. Your season would end on four interceptions. How does that square with you when you evaluate him against Starr and Rodgers?
Well, here's my thing, and here's why I put him at number two, and I didn't get a chance to explain that, well, you know, before you like trampled all over it. To me, you look at Brett when he was winning MVPs, and it was interesting what Greg said about the anticipation thing. It's like by the time Jennings was playing with him, I mean, Brett knew every play, every defense. He knew how everything should work, and he was just, you know, kind of like the Matrix, you know? It was like he knew every kind of place he wanted to put the ball. When he was winning MVPs, he was, you know, on the road to arriving there, but he still had lots of improvisational ability. I mean, he made plays. You know, you still kind of scratch your head and say, how did he do that? To me, the reason I like Favre and I put Favre at number two is because of the fact that when it's fourth quarter, less than 2 minutes, you're down four, Brett wasn't afraid to take a chance. Brett wasn't afraid to try and make the play. And yes, later in his career, we all remember the horrible interceptions. No doubt about it. We remember the horrible afternoon in St. Louis where he threw, what, six of them. We remember all that. But, you know, lost in this transition to the internet age is, you know, all the stuff in 95, 96, 97, when he made some amazing plays. And even like 98, 99, some amazing comeback throws where he has throws where he's throwing it. He has no business throwing it, and he puts it right where he wants to for huge gains, huge touchdowns, etc. As a fan, as purely as a fan, that's why I came out to the ballpark. That's why I turned on the television. I didn't turn on the TV or go to the park to watch some guy go, no, I really shouldn't do that. You know,
Nagler,
I'm here to be entertained, man.
You are singing my song,
yeah,
man.
100%.
Because Claybon, I say this all the time, and I don't know if you and I have had this conversation, but give me Brett Favre, John Elway, and Ben Roethlisberger any day over Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Troy Aikman. And that's not a slight to the second group. They've won, and probably if you add them up, I think actually the latter group would have more Lombardi trophies. But I want a gunslinger. What are we talking about? A math equation? Are we talking about precision? Are we talking about what's exciting? Well, we're fans.
That's what Aaron was saying. We want to see somebody make plays. That's why we're watching the game. And you don't make the, you know, the, how many cliches do we have in sports? 100% of the shots you don't take, et cetera, et cetera. Greatly dare, greatly fail. I mean, that's what we want to see. We want to see somebody try something ridiculous and occasionally pull it off. And nobody did that more than Brett Favre for a really long time.
I don't want to hold Nagler or Claybon up too much. I think we've peaked with Greg Jennings, although I find your insights here very strong. I want to dig in on the 2016 team. Should we do that first? I'll ask everybody behind the glass there because you're youngsters. And so what appeals to you more? I have an inkling. 2016 Packers, a look ahead. We're going to do both real quick. We'll go through the record, the schedule. Or do you want to hear Nagler make his case for the 60s Packers being a better dynasty than the 70s Steelers?
Nobody wants to hear that.
We want to look ahead.
I don't understand the quick answer there, Bartlett. I think it's very interesting to hear a man, a grown man, sitting at the foot of the bed, a father of three, shame himself with what he knows isn't true. He knows it's not true. He just feels like I got to.
What are you talking about? He knows it's not true.
You don't
true.
Know. You know that the Packers don't stay. The 60s Packers. They don't stay. When they were winning those NFL titles, how many was it? Were there two other teams in the NFL at that time, or was it three other teams that they were vanquishing?
There was, There was huge expansion in the 70s. You're right. Yeah.
Well, there was. They brought in the AFL, and that made a big difference. That raised the competition. I'll say this, Nagler. We don't have to go into a full-on debate here. We've said our piece respectively on that top 10.
Aaron said like three words.
I don't. You know what? That's right. But you know what? He said plenty on the top 10, and it was directed at me.
I'm on his show, Patrick. I'm on his show. It's all right.
I'll give Nagler his chance. But let me say something to you, Clay.
You will meet in a bar in Houston at the Super Bowl, and we'll have this out.
And let me tell you something, Claybon. Yeah, because this is the same game he played in that top 10 list. Damashek, you cut to him. He's like a lunatic, like a raving lunatic about stuff. You don't understand half of his words. Then Nagler comes in. He's like an academician. Like, oh, you have a cool, calm, and collected. I seem like a buffoon. Now it's my turn, Nagler. Now you're on my note. Here's the legitimate argument I make for the Steelers of the 70s over any other dynasty. Yeah. If we made a list in the Super Bowl era, because I don't count anything, you know, 58 as they always.
But why? Why? Already your argument is invalid.
I'll tell you why.
Why are we cutting things off?
Because I'll tell you why. Because you know how they always say, the people that were around, the greatest game ever played. What's the greatest game of all time? They say the 1958 championship.
Yep.
You go back and you watch that game. It's a very good game. It's an entertaining ball game, but it certainly doesn't stack up as the greatest game you've ever seen. No, it is the greatest game ever played because of its importance on the national scale. Suddenly, people started paying attention. If that's the case, by definition, nothing matters before it. That's the it's not baseball. Baseball was relevant in the 20s. NFL football, here's the proof that the NFL was a second-rate league for a long time. I'll tell you why. Because the college all-stars used to play the Super Bowl champs, and they would win sometimes.
They would play
the NFL champs, and they would beat them.
He told the league he didn't want to do it anymore after they lost.
That's embarrassing. But that's bad for the NFL. So that shows, that highlights it. All right, the 60s, it starts to become more legitimate. If we said, though, in the Super Bowl era, rank for me the 10 or 12 best dynasties of all time, we would say the Packers of the 60s. We would say the Niners of the 80s, the Cowboys of the 90s, the Patriots of the 21st century.
Or the aughts.
Or the aughts. You would say also the Cowboys of the 70s. You would say the Raiders of the 70s, perhaps. The Dolphins of the 70s, certainly. You might even bring up the Minnesota Vikings. And yet among all these titanic all-time teams, who stood head and shoulders above them all? The Pittsburgh Steelers. That's who, Nagler. Who did the Packers have to beat to win their titles?
What are you talking about?
The Cowboys.
Don
Meredith. Whatever.
Wait, if you're going to put the Vikings in this conversation, then the Bills got to be in the conversation.
All right, the Bills can be in the conversation.
We're talking about teams that never won anything. I mean, why not, you know, let's throw the Jaguars in there while we're at it.
Well, no, that would be silly. Claybon, how say you?
You know how I love these ranking lists of hypothetical matchups.
Oh, we've got the takes ombudsman here, Nagler.
That's why God invented Madden.
So we could do these. All right, then let's look ahead. Let's appease the youngsters after that little 7 or so minute detour. And let's look ahead to the 2016 Packers. I am perennially Nagler on board with the Packers so long as 12 is under center. I think he is the best quarterback I've ever seen in my life. I like Mike McCarthy, it seems, more than some. And I'm waiting for them to break through. And by the way, I think if he gets one more ring, he enters the conversation, you know, for every. I think people already cite him as the most talented QB they've seen. But I think he, you know, enters the conversation as the, you know, with Brady and Montana as best ever. So what gives here? What to the cynics who say, hey, Dave or anybody else, Rodgers is only one ring, same as Peyton did before he got that last one a couple months ago.
Well, hey, I would think most people, I know most Packer fans because I see it every day on my Twitter feed, and I have to stress every day, would tell you that, you know, the Packers are wasting Aaron Rodgers. We hear a lot of that as some people who follow the team religiously or cover them every day that, you know, they've got a superstar quarterback. They know this. They keep trying to surround him with the talent they need to get there. You know, but as I always say,
you know, Aaron's part of the team. Aaron's part of it. You know, there are plays, like we were just talking about, there are plays he turns down because he doesn't want to throw a pick. And that's fine. That's great. It helps his quarterback rating, but it doesn't help you win the ball game. And I'm not saying he's not the best quarterback in the league, because I think he is. I think he's by far and away the best quarterback in the league. But he's part of the team. So do I think they're going to win another championship while he's under center? Yeah, I do. You know, the defense played a hell of a lot better last year than most people thought they would. And then everyone was surprised because the offense is the thing that didn't hold up the end of their end of the bargain. Obviously, that's going to have sat with Mike McCarthy all offseason. I mean, I know that did not sit well with him. So you have to think, and I know there's been talk all offseason about getting back to fundamentals, and fans don't want to hear that, but it's true. They had a bunch of wide receivers who couldn't get off man press. That's a problem. When you're running a bunch of 3-4 wide receiver sets, none of them can get off man press. Well, yeah, that's an issue. So I think you will see a return to fundamentals. They finally have a dedicated wide receivers coach, which they didn't have last year. But yeah, Aaron, for all the people who say, well, you know, Aaron Rodgers maybe had an off year, but his numbers in an off year are better than most guys' numbers on a regular year. Well, that's fine and good. But they've built this entire team, especially the entire offense, around Aaron Rodgers and his ability. And if he's even just a little bit off, the offense doesn't work. And last year, he was off. He had a bunch of guys who couldn't get a lot of separation, and he refused to throw into tight windows. And that was partly why they struggled on offense. Now, it's not the only reason, but it's part of it, and it's something that no one has really talked about this year.
That's very interesting stuff there, because, yeah, I am an apologist for Rodgers. I guess I'm so deep in the defense of the guy. That's insightful
because
stuff.
He's so good. Yeah. How could you not be an apologist?
Well, you know what? I've knocked Peyton Manning over the years for the same thing. The premise with the teams that he was on from his first day wearing the upside-down horseshoe, the teams have been built were built around him. So when people would say, yeah, but you can't knock Peyton because the defense is so lousy, yeah, because – he required that that the bulk of the loot
right.
goes to building the offense that he needed. There's
right.
something to be said about that with Rodgers. Although the thing I forgive Rodgers for is, who has he ever played with? Who has he ever had? I mean, Greg Jennings is very good, but we see Greg Jennings go elsewhere. Everybody who leaves, Aaron Rodgers has had a pretty good drop-off there. Peyton Manning has played with all those Hall of Famers. Even Tom Brady has had the benefit of Rob Gronkowski and Randy Moss for a couple of years.
Well, it's interesting. You look at the cover of Sports Illustrated, what was it, 2010, 2011, whatever it was, with Aaron and all his wide receivers and JerMichael Finley at tight end, and that was a really talented group, but you're right. There's no superstar there. I mean, Greg Jennings is probably the closest to it. He was really an amazing wide receiver when he was on that team. But a lot of it, again, is the design of the offense. I mean, people knock Mike McCarthy, but it's an amazing offense, and it does a really good job of getting guys one-on-one with routes and concepts that allow them to succeed. When, you know, you're not counting on guys to win with physicality, you're not throwing 50-50 balls. It's not a Dez Bryant situation where you're just throwing it up and asking them to go get it and throw up the X, you know? These are guys who are, like Greg Jennings is a perfect example. He was the ultimate technician. He's one of the best route runners I've ever seen. That's what this offense needs, and that's what it was really lacking last year.
For the Rodgers discussion, I kind of have to go back to the criticism, which I've always thought is such a wild criticism, that somebody's only won one world championship.
Oh, that's the dumbest.
That's so crazy to me. It's like, well, this guy only achieved the highest possible goal in his professional
one time, right?
And it's
I hear you. And by the way, I'm on both sides of the fence with the ring count for QBs. On one hand, I will always point out the fact that when Andrew Luck or whoever breaks out with a big rookie season, they say, oh, this guy is going to win multiple Super Bowls. Well, you know, they only give the one Lombardi each year. So if Andrew Luck's going to win multiple Super Bowls and Russell Wilson's going to win multiple Super Bowls and Cam Newton is too, boy, they must have extra Lombardis laying around because they're all going for the same prize and they're only going to give the one. On the other hand, it does matter. You're the field general, and never more than it is right now is the role of the QB significant in whether or not your team gets it done. And certainly it is going to be a factor when things are relatively close elsewhere. You are ultimately going to look. I forgive John Elway. I mean, I don't care about John Elway winning two with Terrell Davis, but I do think Instead of it being Lombardi count, can we agree that postseason success is relevant? Because if your team is good enough to get to the postseason, then presumably it's good enough to win games as long as the QB plays well. And John Elway took three atrocious Broncos teams to Super Bowls in the 80s. He deserves credit for that. I mean, look at those rosters. Sammy Winder, that was the running back on those Sammy Winder was their feature back. They still went to the Super Bowl.
It's tough to compare across seasons. I just know that, you know, unless Aaron runs off the sideline and tackles Larry Fitzgerald, I feel like, you know, he did enough to put the team in a situation to win the game.
What, hey, right. Nagler, speaking of that, right. Worst was, I mean, I've said this before, and I say it again to you now. Has there ever been, as objective as you can possibly be on this,
have you ever seen
a more painful loss for any team, maybe not just in NFL lore, but in all the sports, than what happened in the 2014 NFC title game?
Hell no. Come on.
It was the worst thing I've ever seen.
I would love to know what it would even compare. And they had that game won five different times.
That's right.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely. I was in a bar in Brooklyn making reservations for the Super Bowl. That's where we were.
I went through and counted in the second half, there are eight plays that if any one of them goes in the Packers' way.
Other way, Super Bowl.
Which is the one that that keeps you up at night? To me, it's the Clinton Dix inability to knock down the 2-point conversion.
You know, that one doesn't. You know why? Because it's like the guy intercepted him, Russell Wilson, twice in that game. He played a really good game. He had two bad plays, one of which was that play, the 2-point conversion. To me, it's the Morgan Burnett falling down after the interception.
Yeah.
If you look at the coach's tape, and I know Julius Peppers, you know, aged veteran wise Julius Peppers is sitting right in front of him going, get down. But Morgan Burnett, you look at the coach's tape, he's gone.
Yep.
He probably scores if he just keeps running. That's the one that really kills me.
Claybon, summon another candidate for worst loss you've ever seen. I mean, Bama against Auburn
a couple years ago.
That's one. They're all the thing that every other game has in common is the one play.
You talk about one play. I mean, the situation, if you break down the numbers of that Seahawks-Packers game, it's not even close. But, I mean, as far as the greatest football game that I've ever seen was that Iron Bowl, and we're standing there getting ready to do the postgame show, and all of a sudden Chris Davis takes off with his field goal, and the building explodes. People are melting onto the field.
You were in the joint for that game?
Yeah.
Really?
And as the crowd was running on the field, we ran out to do the CBS post game for the Birmingham.
Did you get run over?
No, I Heisman some people. I mean, you gotta be willing to scrap. People have been drinking since 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's 9 o'clock at night. But it's other than those wild, wacky college football games, if you mentioned the eight plays To Haha's benefit, speaking of Alabama football, nobody's expecting that ball to come down at that angle with the amount of time.
I know, it's bizarre, but he's standing next to him for what feels like about 20 seconds. Yeah. Just reach up and knock it down, fella.
He has no idea where the ball
is. He's just never seen, like the rest of us, have never seen a ball at that trajectory. Like until Richard Rodgers caught the Hail Mary last year. No one's ever caught a ball that's falling directly from the sky like that. All right, real quick, I don't want to tie up. And by the way, Nagler did mention his Twitter. He's one of the great Twitter follows for football fans, sports fans, and otherwise. At Aaron Nagler, N-A-G-L-E-R is how you do it. And I mentioned CheeseheadTV.com, one of the creators and obviously one of the great Packers fans. So, and not important, not opposed to if need be, if he feels it's right, he knocks the Packers sometimes. That's what a real fan does, of course.
Hey, they need it. They need it. They need it every now and then. No
All
doubt.
Right. Give me the three reasons why the Packers will underwhelm this year. Maybe they don't get by the Vikings once again. Maybe they may straight up miss the playoffs. Give me your three big concerns right now.
Three big concerns. I would say we talked about it a little bit before, the man press issue. The wide receivers being in sync with Rodgers. It was an issue all last year.
Is Montgomery the answer there? Is he maybe a breakout guy?
I absolutely love him. He looked amazing early in the year before getting hurt. And then they kept trying to bring him back. And then they had him have surgery at the end of the year. And now he started in training camp on the PUP. So, I'm excited for him. I really hope he's out there soon. He can be an answer. He's a switchblade of a player. You know, he's a guy you can line up everywhere, anywhere across the formation. I don't know if he's, you know, a dynamic presence in the sense that he's going to, you know, blow an offense wide open. But yeah, he's an exciting piece, but that it's a concern. It's a concern. It's something that really haunted them last year, and they got to get that fixed. Number two, I would say up front on defense, they obviously BJ Raji kind of stepping away from the game was really unexpected. I know it caught the Packers by surprise. That's why Kenny Clark's a Packer now. Yeah, they played amazing, amazing football up front last year. It's probably one of the most under-discussed things when I, you know, read and hear about the Packers this offseason. Nobody expected that. I know Mike McCarthy did because he talked about it at the beginning of the year last year, and everyone went, yeah, sure, Mike. But then they did. They went out and they kicked tail. There are a lot of question marks up front. Mike Daniels obviously is the one guy you can count on, but after that, a lot of question marks, and you just wonder how that's all going to come together again, because that was really the engine of the defense last year. It was the whole catalyst for the reason the defense played as well as it did. Mm-hmm. And then number three, it's kind of an overarching thing that kind of has been the thing that has kept them from championships, I would say, the last 3 or 4 years, and that's Ted Thompson's insistence on sticking with the draft and almost eschewing free agency totally. It's great. It gets lots of young athletic guys on the field, but time and again, we've seen, you know, year after year after year in crunch time where young guys make mistakes that kill their chances at getting to a championship, whether it is Brandon Bostic doing the wrong, you know, not doing his assignment on a onside kick, whether it is last year Demarius Randall dropping coverage on Larry Fitzgerald and letting him come wide open to pretty much salt the game away. Time and again, we've seen these young guys make mistakes in crucial, you know, crucial parts of the game. And Ted just won't change his philosophy. And I get it. I get why he does it. He sticks to his beliefs. They're his core beliefs. He's never going to change. Totally get that. But that could be, I'm not saying it will be, I'm not, you know, it's not set in stone here, but that could be definitely a thing that continues to keep them from reaching a Super Bowl.
You know, it's interesting, and that's one of my annual laments too, is with my team, the Steelers, they also don't play ball in free agency, and this always seems to be...
They did a little more this year, though.
Yeah, but, you know, the perennially, they're
right,
sober.
No,
and, you know, that's not how you build a champion and all that,
And then on comes John Elway, and he destroys all of that.
That's exactly right, and by the way, just before that, Bill Belichick's team went and got Darrell Revis, and that was a significant addition to that team as well. So obviously you now can win Lombardi trophies by adding key pieces, sprinkling them in, at least free agency. And by the way, it was a wholesale defensive swap for infusion, like you say, with John Elway there. All right, let's go through. And by the way, Claybon, any from outside looking in, anything, any knock you want to offer on the
Well,
Packers?
I mean, I just feel for you poor souls that are Steelers and Packers fans.
Oh,
having to deal with your middling franchises and their inability to compete. What? I don't know what you guys are
That's what you've seen my Twitter feed. You know this is all I do all day.
Let me tell you something, Claybon. And let me tell the Dan Hanzooses of the world, too, these sour pusses about how lucky you are to have a good team. Yeah, you know what? We're like the parents of an A student. Hey, guess what? A B+ hurts just as it does. You know what? That's how it feels.
But then when that student grows up and is successful, and you wonder why they don't.
You're not going to get into an Ivy League school if you keep this up. You know that?
It's like, have you heard from Steve? No, Steve doesn't talk to me because I was really annoying the whole time.
I don't like that, Claybon. Let's just move on. Last thing with you, Nagler. I saw you check your cell phone there, and that's always the universe.
Always connected.
That's cool, man. Let's do it real quick. We've been doing it here. We go through the schedule with someone who knows what they're talking about for all the 32 teams. Today, it is
so
the Green Bay Packers on the record.
Oh, God.
Don't we have a sound effect for that? A record scratch.
I love it.
We go the extra mile.
Skip it.
All right. They start off with a journey to Jacksonville in the ugly helmets, the two-tones.
Yeah,
Nagler?
I'm worried about it.
Ooh,
I'm worried about it.
Here we go.
Be fired up.
We're
on to a new day start down there.
I'll give the Packers a W, though.
Hey, there we go.
Right out of the gate. There's Jags fans all excited. They're going to be going wild. And Aaron Rodgers is going to come in there and give them a dose of reality.
I'm nervous about it, though. Nervous about it.
Boy, that's tough. At Minnesota, week two.
Yeah, week two. I'm going to give them a loss there.
Thank goodness, at least there aren't many.
Opening the new stadium, and the Vikings ruined the rededication reopening of Lambeau back in 2003 when they did the remodeling, and the Vikings were the first team to come in there, and they, you know, gave the Packers a loss, and really hope the Packers can return the favor, but I don't think it happens.
I hope they the Vikings, my wish for them this year is that they go back to the gray face masks or the white ones. Those look better. The black face mask does not work with that purple.
No, it doesn't suit them. You're right.
And as I've said before, oh yeah, you're a NFC North guy. Shame right. on the Lions and Vikings forever for doming their stadiums. True?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know what? They get, you know what? You know who it hurts most?
It shouldn't be in the league, man. If you want to play arena football, go play arena football. That's all I'm saying.
Why do you laugh at that, Claybon? Don't you see the advantage that you have playing at home when no one – what, you think the L.A. Rams are going to like coming up to play? That's what happened in the 70s. The Rams would come up to play Minnesota. Even if they were better, they'd lose every time because they couldn't handle the cold.
Arena football is a tremendous league.
they're playing arena football, man. Take the
lead. Yeah, it is an arena.
Jeff Janis. Anybody wants to knock Aaron Rodgers? Just Jay, he threw to Jeff Janis for 58 minutes and almost beat one of the best teams in the NFL. All right, the Detroit Lions. Now, you host them in Lambeau in week 3.
Yeah, that's a win. Okay. That's a win.
Then you already have your bye. That doesn't break very well for you. Then you have the Giants in a primetime affair.
Yeah, again, nervous. If that was in New York, I'd give it an L, but because it's in Green Bay, and I know Giants fans will say that the Giants have had a lot of success in Green Bay, and that's true. But this year, McCarthy gets the better of McAdoo.
I like that, although I do like the Giants this year. And I assume that that's 1A for the most painful losses ever when the Giants came in there.
Absolutely.
When you were
the
15
Favre interception
and 1.
In overtime where everyone else is open except for the guy who throws it
to
you.
Oh, you know what? It's funny. I just realized, as I said, that there are two painful
plays. There are several.
The 15-1. If you when I make excuses for Rodgers, that's the game I point to when they dropped every pass he threw that day. And Akeem Nicks got
15-1 loss is such like it that doesn't hurt nearly as much as the NFC Championship loss.
Is that right?
Not even close.
What's your logic on that?
You know, things happen. Like, you know, Clifton stepped on was it Clifton? Somebody, the left tackle stepped on Rodgers' foot, and he had Jennings open for a wide open touchdown. He missed that. John Kuhn fumbled. Ryan Grant fumbled. Guys who never, ever fumbled that year. Both fumbled. They gave up a ridiculous Hail Mary at the end of the first half. Yeah. Like, all sorts of just fluky nonsense that, you know, throughout 15-1 didn't happen. All happened on that day.
Moving on, the Dallas Cowboys, another team that might be good or at least score a lot of points, pays a visit to Lambeau.
Yeah, that's a win for the Packers.
All right, you're doing very nicely. You're 5-1 when your arch rival Chicago Bears pay you a visit on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's a win.
Oh, I thought you were about to announce that as a loss. Then you journey down to Hotlanta to play the Falcons.
Yeah, that's a win.
All right. I just want to keep you honest here. Right now.
Yeah. On fire.
Right now, they're 6-1. All right, I'm not saying it couldn't be.
They were 6-0 last year. Makes sense.
Now you host the Indianapolis Colts. What a run. You have 5 out of 6 games in Lambeau. Better make your hay there.
Home games are early. They win against the Colts.
All right. Soaring now as you travel to Nashville.
And that's a close victory, although they get a real bad scare.
The South is the only team.
If you want to start actually calling out scoring plays, you can. I like the extra detail is good. And Claybon, feel free to raise the red flag, throw the red challenge flag.
McCarthy's teams have a rhythm. You know, you can always kind of count on him stubbing his toe at least once or twice a year where he has absolutely no business stumbling.
Sunday, November 20th, there will be a new president-elect when you visit the nation's capital.
Yeah, that's probably a loss.
Ooh, all right.
I'll give them the L there.
Revenge for what happened in January there at Philly now.
That's a win.
Boy, you guys have an easy schedule. That's what you
have.
Well, if you have the NFC East, that kind of feels
it helps.
Like it's good. Then you get the Texans at home.
At home, that's a win.
The Seattle Seahawks at home.
At home, that's a win.
There we go.
Two losses so far for Favre and company. Now you go up to or go down to Chicago.
Yeah, that's a loss.
Minnesota pays you a visit. Maybe this is for the division title.
Yeah, possibly. That's a win.
And you round it out in the Motor City.
Oh, wait, no. The Minnesota one. Sorry, take it back. That's a Christmas Eve, right?
That is Christmas Eve, yes.
Yeah, that's a loss.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Well, they sweep you. So
they'll sweep them.
Okay, yeah. And then at the Lions.
That's a win.
So in spite of the fact that you go 12-4.
Yeah, we need to talk Vikings schedule.
I think the Vikings win the division. Is that what we can glean?
It would not surprise me in the least. Let me tell you, Mike Zimmer knows how to defend McCarthy, and he sure as hell knows how to defend Aaron Rodgers. They're a real legitimate threat.
I also think that there are two ways philosophically that a team can be built if you have a division bully like the NFC North has had for the for however long with Favre or Rodgers. It seems to me that you either try to keep up with the Joneses and you match what they are doing piece for piece, or you zig when they're zagging, and that's what the Packers have done. The Packers have big physical corners now. They look to grind you on the ground. That is the antithesis of what the Packers want to have done to them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they again, it's like Mike's running basically the same offense. I mean, he's wrinkle here, wrinkle there. But, people know what to expect now. And again, it's a great offense. It's amazing. It's dynamic. But there are very simple ways to go about defending. And if you've got the right pieces, which the Vikings do, you can be successful.
If I tell you, and then we're going to let Aaron Nagler go and we're going to wrap things up here. But if I tell you one guy is going to have a good season by his own measure that he's laid out with the previous seasons in his career, do you want it to be Eddie Lacy or Jordy Nelson?
Oof. That's a good question. I'd say Eddie Lacy.
Really? No Jordy him. There?
Well, I think Jordy will get his regardless. He doesn't have to come back and, catch 100 balls, catch 10 touchdown passes, because the offense is designed to spread it around. And yeah, Aaron likes to feed it to him, because he's his favorite receiver and he trusts him the most. But you can still keep spreading it around, especially with the addition of Jared Cook. You're going to see a lot more two tight end sets. Richard Rodgers, he's a definite weapon in the red zone, though he struggles between the 20s. You can spread it around. We mentioned Montgomery earlier. There are plenty of weapons through the air where Jordy can fall off a little bit or not come back as dynamic as he was, so to speak. But they need to get Eddie Lacy going. For as productive as James Starks was last year in his stead, Lacy's got to get back to form. It makes everything work a hell of a lot easier.
Aaron Nagler, great time. Thanks so much for all the time sitting at the foot of your bed there. It's been insightful. Yeah. It's been positively gay. Let's do it again at some point before the midway point in the season, something like that.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, appreciate it. In the meantime, enjoy August as we get ready for the kickoff. At Aaron Nagler is how you track him down on Twitter. And, of course, Cheeseheads TV. Great stuff from Nagler. Claybon, anything you want to weigh in on? Now he's just looming over our shoulder, though. Now you turn him off. It's creeping me
tear
out.
Me off.
Take him away. He's
Have
just sitting
one,
there. Don't take your shirt off. I look like Nagler's going for the shirt. I don't want that.
Going for the phone.
Claybon, we started to talk about we're being told we have to wrap the show anyway. I wanted to, Claybon, talk a little bit about the alphabet.
Yeah, no, it's near and dear to you.
It occurs to me that letters that when you spell the letters that don't start with themselves must have self-esteem issues when they hang out with other letters. Like, I mean, if I said spell the letter A, how would you spell it?
Well, A starts with an A, right?
A,
so
Y.
So A feels good about itself, right?
A-Y-E, maybe something like that. And B would be B-E-E. Maybe you'd fancy it up B-E-A. But once you get to F, F doesn't even start with the letter F. It would be E-F-F.
Yeah.
Do you feel bad for the letter F?
Well, I appreciate the empathy that you have for certain letters. And I know that as a man who possesses such glorious alliteration in his name, you probably feel great about the letter D.
I know where my bread's buttered.
I do have the P, but I also have the C. Mm. And there's that C-S relationship. Where I don't necessarily feel like, you look down on yourself when people don't spell you with your actual letter. I feel like you just appreciate and accept that other letter into what you need to make you whole.
But you bring up C, is C a freeloader? I don't want to level charges unfairly, but is C a freeloader? Couldn't we really go down to 25 letters and let K carry the K weight and let S be carried by S. No. What do we need C for?
You literally couldn't say that question without C. It's
my world.
It's a vital part.
I can spell could with a K just as easily as a C.
Yeah, but then it looks like could.
You'll get used to it.
No. I won't accept this, David. No.
You know what looked weird was when you looked at NFL teams about 25 years ago and, like, say, Carolina Panthers. You'd be like, whoa, Carolina, that's going to take some getting used to. Guess what? You've gotten used to it. Or are we to hail C for its versatility?
That's where I am.
It's
versatile. It's inclusive. If not for C, I don't know where we'd be. I have no idea.
Well, we'll continue this conversation at a later date. In the meantime, thanks to Greg Jennings. Great insight there from him and from Aaron Nagler on the Green Bay Packers. Which team will we tackle next? Only time will tell. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. Thanks, Claybon.
Thank you.
Been a thin slice of heaven.